Blog Talk Radio.
Behind everything that is great, there is a great mind, a mastermind. Get ready for the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge, the definitive fantasy football information show. Your host, Fantasy Football Mastermind Michael Nazareth, has more than two decades of fantasy football experience. Comprehensive fantasy football information, strategy, and trading advice. Fantasy picks to click and flick. The latest NFL news and much, much more. Each week during the fantasy football season on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, there's no bragging rights for finishing second. Here's your host of the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge, Michael Nazareth.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It is December 8th. This is week 14 of 2020, yes, of the COVID NFL fantasy season, and we're right on schedule to start the fantasy football playoffs. I'm Michael Nazareth, and I am your host of the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge podcast. Fantasy Football Mastermind can be found online at ffmastermind.com. And with me, once again, my very good friend and very experienced fantasy player, Chris Rito. How you doing? You're also, by the way, you're also my partner in FanX, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But how are you doing tonight, Chris?
Lovely, lovely. I thought you were my partner in FanX. I forget how it works out. Anyway, yeah, week 14. It seems like we just started. We were just having a debate whether we were going to start the season at all, and now we're into our fantasy playoffs, or at least crunch time, the end of our regular season at the very least.
It's crazy. It's been a wild, crazy season. As I'm talking right now, the Baltimore Ravens are finishing up a win over the Dallas Cowboys. There's less than a minute to go in the game. The Ravens are winning 34-17. I guess just like the Dallas Cowboys, if you got Zeke Elliott, a guy can't get 1 yard at the goal. You know, I hope that didn't cost you a chance at your playoffs. But you know, it's crazy to watch football
title.
On Tuesday, isn't it, Chris?
It's costing me a division title. I'm playing for the division title. I'm down by 0.4 points, and I have Zeke Elliott. So, yep, that extra point
for
Justin
Tucker.
And he has Justin Tucker, so the extra point that he got and the points I didn't get from Zeke are going to cost me a win. I'm going to lose by 0.4 points.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm looking here. I don't know if the game's over because I turned the TV off. The 13 seconds left, the Cowboys still have a ball. The pass, the ball, maybe he'll catch a short dump off of the last play of the game.
Forget it. Forget it. Let's talk about other people's leagues.
Okay, let's go right to the news. There's not much news, but we will be talking fantasy tips here shortly. The big news, I guess, of the week was the implosion kind of continues in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz had another bad game. He was finally replaced by Jalen Hurts. I know very familiar with Jalen, a quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide for a couple seasons before transferring and going to Oklahoma. But he gets his first start. Chris, the fantasy impact, is Jalen Hurts picking up and starting for fantasy?
Maybe not this week. He's got a really tough one against New Orleans, obviously. But he's got Arizona and Dallas the next 2 weeks after that. And I'm kind of reminded of when Tim Tebow got in the lineup late in the season in his first year. And he was a really good fantasy quarterback, allowed the NFL quarterback, but a good fantasy quarterback. And I went to a championship game riding Tim Tebow. So I'm thinking he's worth putting on your bench if you got to, but I definitely wouldn't think about starting him this week unless you're pretty desperate.
So I guess the question is, how do you think that this move affects guys like Miles Sanders and any of the wide receivers for the Eagles? Are they worth starting? Obviously, you're probably going to start Sanders, but do you think he's going to have a decent game? He didn't do much last week.
No, I actually don't. We'll talk more about Miles Sanders in our clicks and flicks, but I think he's probably the one that has the biggest negative impact because there's going to be a certain number of rushing attempts that are going to now go to Jalen Hurts, taking them by himself. I mean, he had 5 carries in a limited time that he was in there, and pretty effective carries. I don't really know what to make of the receiving crew, especially the tight ends, because they're a very tight end heavy offense, because I just don't know who he's going to favor yet. So it kind of remains to be seen. If you hung on to Travis Fulgham and kept him on your bench, remember he was working with the second unit a lot, so maybe he comes back into play. I don't know. I'm really a wait-and-see attitude on the receivers, the rest of the offense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's very tough from a fantasy provider aspect here to try and rank guys like Dallas Goedert. I'm wanting to move him down a little bit. The question is, how far down do you move him, and where do you put any of these Eagles receivers? And you still got to put Miles Sanders somewhere around in the top 20 or close, you know, but nowhere near the top 10 anymore because of all this. But it's a very interesting situation to watch. One other piece of news here, everyone that's got Christian McCaffrey, I do on one team. If you've got Mike Davis, then you just sit Mike Davis and put Christian McCaffrey in. If he's going to start, it looks like he's on track to start this week. We'll see if he practices later this week. But if you do have McCaffrey and you've been waiting, it looks like this is the week. And we did this before, once before. Hopefully he won't get in there and produce another 30-point game and then injure some other part of his body at the end of the game because people need him for the next 3 weeks, week 14, 15, and 16 in fantasy playoffs. You want that stud in there, and he's been averaging 30 points when he plays. The problem is he only played three games, so, you know, we're going to be crossing our fingers there. Okay, so as we're approaching the fantasy football playoffs and you're trying to manage your roster, I'm just going to throw this to you real quickly. Any late-season fantasy tips that people should be doing to prepare their team for the playoffs?
Yeah, well, first of all, the one that you and I talk about all the time, when in doubt, play your studs. Basically, it comes down to this. If you got a stud with a tough matchup and a guy behind him with a great matchup, if you play the backup guy and your stud acts like a stud, you're going to feel a heck of a lot worse than if you just play your stud and he's mediocre and the guy on your bench goes off. So when in doubt, play your studs. You spent a high draft pick on him for a reason, do it. Unless you've got like three studs and you can only start two, you know, obviously you're going to have to bench one of them. So don't overthink it. That's number one. Number two, you want to kind of look ahead at the schedules. You only have to look at a short period of games here, and you've got 14 weeks, 13 weeks of history to really understand what those games mean. You want to look at schedules and pick up some guys and stick them on your bench because it's really important that you have a deep bench, especially in the year of COVID. You saw what happened to Dez Bryant tonight, hour before game time, he got inactivated. That could happen to a Christian McCaffrey, to an Alvin Kamara, to a Patrick Mahomes at the last minute. You got to be able to put somebody in. So there are not a lot of true handcuffs that are worth sticking in and get equivalent value. But if you want to load up your bench with starters. On one of my teams, I dropped Tony Pollard, who I have Ezekiel Elliott, because somebody had dropped David Johnson and Joe Mixon when they were injured a couple weeks ago and picked them up. These are guys that are going to start, and they've got great matchups in the playoffs. You want to look at those matchups, look at those schedules, get guys and sit starters on your bench, if at all possible, or at least producers. Get a J.D. McKissick rather than a handcuff for somebody else. Get a Mike Williams, if he's a guy in a small league that might be on the waiver wire, rather than keeping a handcuff for your guys. People make the mistake of handcuffing a guy too often in the playoffs. Great regular season, not so good in the playoffs, especially when you could lose a guy game up or lose an entire team possibly if their game gets put off. So you want to make sure you got guys you can put in that can realistically get you points so you don't get skunked. And then the last thing I want to really kind of think about as the first point here is you and I have talked many times about the value of streaming kickers and defenses rather all year. When you've got a couple of weeks to play and maybe you can't make roster changes through your playoffs, you want to look for somebody that's got some great matchups. You know, if you look at Seattle, they've got the Jets, Washington, and maybe maybe the Rams in week 17. You've got Cleveland, who's got both New York teams in week 15 and 16. You've got Houston with Chicago this week and Cincinnati week 16. These are three teams that are probably on your waiver wire as defenses that have such good matchups that you can pluck them in if you've been streaming all year and not have to worry about it for the next couple of weeks. As kickers go, the other thing you have to remember is not only matchups and potential for their offense, but weather. Once you get to December, weather becomes a huge issue in the Midwest and the Northeast. So you want to get indoor kickers, dome kickers, or warm weather kickers, if at all possible, whether you're streaming or whether you're picking up a guy to carry. You really, as good as maybe Chris Boswell might be kicking in Pittsburgh, that's crappy weather there, and he could be playing in Pittsburgh, and he's got Buffalo this week in Buffalo. He could be games in Pittsburgh, maybe in New England. You want to avoid anything where weather could really become a factor where your kickers end up looking like Greg Zuerlein did tonight. So, again, yeah, you want to kind of think these things through at a little more depth than you might otherwise. And if you happen to be in a dynasty league or a keeper league, you might want to also look for guys that have been hurt all year and have been dropped a long time ago, or the guys who might be good next year if you got room on your bench. In a dynasty league, no one's going to drop a Tua or a Hurts. But in a small keeper league, throw Tua into the end of your lineup. Maybe somebody dropped Dak Prescott in a league, you know, because he was done for the year. In previous years, when Julian Edelman was hurt first week of the preseason, he was out all year, I got him at the minimum value in my auction league and carried him over to the next year because he was a bargain. I did that with Antonio Brown this year, picked him up and carried him. I might be able to get Antonio Brown next year at a bargain price. So kind of look at the waiver wire before your last roster moves in Dynasty or Keeper leagues to see if there's anyone that has some real value out there.
That's some very, very good advice. Yeah, we always talk, say, start your studs. But that's a very interesting second point you made there. As with regards to the kickers, I also tell people that know your league rules, because there are a lot of leagues that won't allow you to make waiver wire moves at all in the playoffs. And you don't want to go into your playoffs with just one kicker, because all it takes is one slip. And I was watching the game here, and I'm not sure if he's injured, but Will Lutz slipped a little bit and missed a kick, and then they showed him kind of flexing his leg there, and he ended up kicking PATs the rest of the game, two PATs, but we don't know if he can kick a 50-plus yard field goal. He might be injured. We're going to wait and see when the injury report comes out this week, but, you know, you don't want to be stuck with just one kicker. If you cannot make a move, you need to go not only take a look on the waiver wire and see how that kicker's done, but like you say, you got to take a look at the schedule and make sure that, well, okay, I'm rather play in a dome or whatnot. And also, you know, remember that, like, guys like Matt Prater, normally very good and all, he's been missing kicks almost every week for the entire season. So, you know, I kind of downgrade him there. But that's a lot of good, fantasy advice for not only experienced owners, but the newbies to take, because you get a lot of people here listening and whatever, and they're like, I'm in my first getting my first playoffs, I'm so excited and everything, and they don't understand the nuances of prepping your team and your roster for the final 3 weeks of the season. Is very important, because you don't want to get caught, you know, if both your tight ends all of a sudden go on the COVID list, you know, heaven forbid that happen and all. But we want to make sure that you have somebody that's halfway decent in order to start. And, you know, we're just guys like me. I'm hoping I've got Mark Andrews on my team. I hope he plays next week. But we'll see on that. But lots of good advice there. Let's go over the real quick on the injuries. It's a short list this week. I want to remind everyone that the comprehensive list over at ffmastermind.com, premium subscribers have updates to that every single day. Daniel Jones is the only quarterback on the list here. Hamstring, looks like the Johns are going to do everything they can to make sure that he can protect himself before he can play. So we'll see if it's going to be another week of Colt McCoy there. Josh Jacobs, the ankle. John Gruden was not optimistic, but it's very early in the week, and Josh Jacobs has not missed many games in his 2 years of playing. So we'll see if he can practice at all. I'd say that if he can practice by the end of the week, they need him to play, and we'll get to see him play. Antonio Gibson with a toe. That just happened on Monday night. So, we're going to know exactly how serious it is later in the week to see if he can practice. Like you said, J.D. McKissic, very, very valuable right now. Peyton Barber might end up starting that game, but, you know, they're dinking and dunking, and guess what? That's McKissic catching those passes. He caught 10 passes, and in a PPR league, that is gold. That's right there is almost 20 points. So it's 10 for 70 there that he had. DeAndre Swift, we're keeping an eye on him, and in Detroit, a concussion. Actually, the illness. He goes over the concussion. It's the illness that's got him, whether he's going to play or not this week. If not, then AP gets another start. It's been 2 weeks in a row now. Adrian Peterson, two touchdowns. So if you manage to swing that and start him, good for you there. Cam Akers with a shoulder, kind of a surprise, added to the injury report on Monday. He sat Monday, but he practiced in a limited fashion today. He's trending in the right direction. And, of course, it's a three-man running back by the committee for the Rams. They're going to be playing on Thursday night against the Patriots. But if Akers is healthy and plays, he's the guy to start. And then Henderson is number two and Malcolm Brown's three there. Frank Gore with a concussion in New York for the Jets. We don't know if he's going to play this week or not, but Ty Johnson is the hot pickup because he produced 100 yards and a score last week, and he's playing the Chargers, and that should be a fairly high-scoring game. Kenny Golladay with the hip, we'll see if he plays this week. Keep an eye on him and see if he practices. Jonu Smith for Tennessee with a knee. It'll be Anthony Firkser once again if Jonu can't play, and we'll be right back after this important message.
You know you want to dominate your fantasy football league. Manage your teams with the assistance of the premier fantasy football information source, Fantasy Football Mastermind. Found on the web at ffmastermind.com, there's plenty of good free stuff, and the premium content will consistently give your teams the best chance to go all the way. President and CEO Michael Nazarek has 20 years' experience and just completed his fourth consecutive year as SI's Expert League Super Bowl champ. Go to ffmastermind.com and check out their volumes of fantasy content, updated daily, which will give you the edge you need to legitimately claim
championship.
Redrafter, Dynasty, Keeper, Auction, Salary Cap, IDP, they cover them all with the best content available anywhere. Go now to ffmastermind.com. The longer you wait, the more great information you'll be missing.
Okay, I wanted to correct myself there. I said the Jets were playing the Chargers. They're actually playing Seattle, their defense is improving, but you can run on them. And so Ty Johnson's probably going to get a lot of action there. Obviously, he will start if Frank Gore can't play. Anyway, we want to remind everyone, please come to our website, ffmastermind.com. Lots of free stuff there, including free daily NFL quick bits, all the news and information as it breaks, especially related to COVID, and free in-season eye and sky scanner reports will continue all the way through week 17, including those covering the Colts from Chris Rito. Our weekly in-season fantasy newsletter is discounted at $9.95. There's four of them left. So if you want to get a little bit extra help or a second opinion on as you enter the fantasy playoffs, try us out for the price of a medium pizza. $9.95 will get you that. Also, if you do subscribe and try us out and you like us for next year, we've already started taking renewals for next year. We always do this as of Black Friday every year. Rock bottom prices, Pro Bowl, Super Bowl package, normally upper 40s to upper 50s. $35.95 and $39.95 for both. So in other words, you can get all of our services for 2021 next year for only under $40. It's a pretty good deal, if I say so myself. Anyway, please follow me on Twitter at FFMastermind. Let's get right to the picks to clicks and picks to click and flick for week 14. Give me a couple quarterbacks you like, and why, Chris?
For the second straight week, I'm going to start with Phillip Rivers, and he could actually be a click next week, three straight based on matchup here. This is based on all three of them, the main factors I consider. It's his current play, his personal history, and the opponent he's playing. So as far as his play, he's been a QB1 for the last 5 weeks, surprisingly, and very consistently scoring. Amazingly, his last 4 weeks have been within 20 yards, a total window of his yardage, almost direct between 285 and 305 every game for four straight weeks. He's also personally owned the Raiders on the road in his career, although that was primarily because he loved antagonizing the black hole in Oakland. So we'll see what happens in Las Vegas without fans there. But in his last 12 starts versus Oakland, he's got six 300-yard games and two 400-yard games, and he's thrown over 12% of his career touchdowns versus the Raiders. 47 out of 418 have been against the Raiders. Vegas blitzes at the league's third lowest rate, and they don't get much pressure up the middle, so that serves him well as well. So I think Rivers might have a lower ceiling than some, but he probably provides far and away the highest floor in the league this week, and it's a really safe bet if you need someone in week 14. And then if you want to make a real gutsy play, maybe I wouldn't do this in your playoffs, but if you're in a DFS looking for a real cheap option, I might think about Mike Glennon. He's been decent for fantasy in his two starts, and this week he's got the Titans, who have been just shredded by opposing quarterbacks in recent week and by mid-range fantasy quarterbacks, and they've in fact allowed the most touchdown passes overall. All season, they've been even worse against teams that also have a decent run game like Jacksonville. So with the Jags likely to be in catch-up mode, volume could even be high. The only downside here is that a few early turnovers could let the team turn back to a now-healthy Gardner Minshew midstream. And if by chance they change course between now and the end of the weekend when the game starts and they start Minshew, he should be very solid too. He had 30-plus points versus Tennessee back in week two.
Okay, good point on Minshew there. I know he wants to get badly back, basically begged the coaches to play, but they're going to stick for Glenn as of right now. We'll see at the end of the week. A couple of guys I like this week, Justin Herbert. What's not to like? I know he's coming off his first bad game of the year against the against Bill Belichick. Most rookies do struggle there. Well, guess what? He gets the Falcons defense this week, and they can be beaten by a very good quarterback, and that's what he's going to do. So multiple scores there. Stick him in the lineup. Don't worry about it. Ryan Tannehill playing much better lately. Guess what? They get the Jaguars this week. That means a big game is coming for Ryan Tannehill. I like Derrick Henry in this game too, but there's plenty to go around. The offense is just going to be pumping the scores into the end zone there, so I like Ryan Tannehill. A couple of guys I'm be concerned about, obviously Sam Darnold. the Jets, I tell you, he could really be playing his final games as a Jet right now, because even with the three healthy wide receivers, he barely generated much of offense last week in the passing game there. I think Perryman had one catch there. I just don't like him this week against Seattle. I know the schedule is pretty favorable, but they got Jamal Adams now back, and this is a revenge game, yeah, for Jamal, so he's going to be trying to sack Darnold there in the game, and the secondary's improved. You know, the Giants could barely score 17 points on Seattle. I don't think the Jets are even going to score that, so sit Darnold. And Alex Smith, Washington, I know the team is resurging and all, but the 49er defense is still a quality unit. I think that the offense, the touchdowns are going to be few and far between in this game, maybe more two or three Hopkins field goals. And, of course, if Antonio Gibson's out too, that takes another weapon away from the offense. So I would sit Alex Smith this week. How about you, Chris? Have a couple of quarterbacks you're not crazy about, and why?
Well, I'll start with Jared Goff. I mean, he's got the Patriots, and they've allowed a total of 21 fantasy points to quarterbacks in the last two games. And that's facing Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert, who are first and fifth in points per game. So they also have the depth of frontline cornerback talent to stay with the Rams' multiple wide receivers. And on the other side, Goff recently, he's been prone to turnovers, especially at home, and he's averaged under 15 points per game in his last three home games. His only other two matchups against Belichick and the Pats, you remember one was a Super Bowl where they only scored 3 points. He's averaged 190 yards with three total picks and only one TD and been sacked 8 times. Yeah, sit Jared Goff this week. And I don't like David Carr. And welcome to your weekly reminder not to chase last week's points. Yes, I know Carr had a monster week last Sunday, but this is not the Jets. This is the Colts, who have allowed the fewest touchdown passes in the NFL. The Colts have actually allowed 0 or 1 touchdown pass in 4 of their last 5 games. They got a crazy amount of second-half shutouts recently. Carr, meanwhile, had averaged 16 points per game and 200 yards per game in the 6 games leading into that homecoming Patsy game against the Jets. So last week is not the norm. Don't chase those old points.
Okay, how about a couple of running backs you like and why?
I hesitate to say this because I think the passing game is going to be solid, but I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor for the Colts as well. He is the number 5 running back in PPR over the last 3 weeks in points per game, and he has a solid on-paper matchup this week against a team that has been bludgeoned on the interior by backup running backs recently. Ty Johnson last weekend, Kalen Ballage, Ito Smith, Sony Michel, Fournette, even Le'Veon Bell have had solid days against this team. So what's a blue-chip lead back going to accomplish? Even with an RBBC and Hines role on offense, he's going to get enough touches to be very fruitful for you. And I love Myles Gaskin this week. He's definitely filling in the feature back role. He has appeal in PPR as well because of its heavy use in the passing game. Very quietly, he's on the fringe of running back 1 territory, averaging almost exactly the same number of points per game as Antonio Gibson, who a lot of people are putting in their lineup every week. And he only has a low game of 9.5 every other game in double digits. The Chiefs have allowed the most yards per game and yards per carry, and a lot of running back receiving action as well. And I think the Finns are going to try and pound the ball a lot against a soft running defense to keep Mahomes sidelined. So volume should be high for Myles Gaskin.
There you go. All right, a couple of running backs I like this week. Pretty easy to call here. David Montgomery, I mean, has a string of soft defenses, and he's produced really well for his fantasy owners. Well, that continues this week with the Texans, so you just plug and play there. Melvin Gordon coming off a pretty good game himself against the Chiefs. Well, guess what? He gets the Panthers this week, and they've got some issues with COVID there, but they're already a bad run defense to begin with. So if you've got Melvin Gordon on your bench, maybe he might be your number 3. If your number 2's got a really bad matchup or is gimpy, you might want to go ahead and sit him and start Melvin instead. A couple of guys I'm concerned about this week, Devin Singletary. You play the Steelers. Yeah, I don't think so. Damian Harris, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game on Thursday, the Patriots and the Rams, and I think the Rams do a run defense very, very playing really well right now. Damian Harris, kind of a meh play. He's going to lose some carries to Sony Michel, and also he doesn't catch passes, so I'd be careful about starting him there. How about you, Chris, about a couple of running backs you're not crazy about and why?
I'll start with Devontae Booker. I'm assuming that he's going to play and not Josh Jacobs this week. I think the Colts feel an opportunity here. The Raiders are looking very vulnerable. They got waxed by Atlanta, and they barely beat, you know, the Jets on a bizarre end of play, as we all know. Booker also doesn't look likely to get a lot going here, as only Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook have topped 60 yards versus Indy in the last 22 games, and he is not Cook or Henry. Speed or edge runners have also been really squashed by Indy because their team defense is fast. again, if Jacobs didn't, I'm really not real keen on him either. So I don't think this is a great running game option here. And then I don't like Miles Sanders this week. We mentioned him a little bit earlier, but the Saints have allowed the fewest fantasy points, total yards, and touchdowns to opposing running backs, stepping up even more recently with no running back scoring more than 10 PPR points against them since week 8. Sanders himself has paralleled the Eagles' woes with a pitiful, pitiful 9 PPR total points in the last 2 weeks and no games over 13 PPR points since week 5. I think the Saints are going to lead, force Philly to throw. This doesn't bode well for volume. And again, like I mentioned earlier, if they go to Jalen Hurts, he's going to lose significant rushing attempts here also. A lot of reasons to not like Miles Sanders this week.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. How about wide receivers? Who do you like and why?
Yeah, one of your boys, Jamison Crowder, I like for sure. No one's happier to see Darnold back under center than Crowder, who has thrived, as shown by his 2 touchdowns last week. And no better time to get in that groove than going against the Seattle pass defense, which allows far and away the most stats to wide receivers in every conceivable category. Now, the Jets should have a high passing volume, even if they don't have a lot of success, and Crowder should get the largest share of those quick looks to get the ball out of Darnold's hands and away from the rush. He should be a PPR beast this week. And then a couple of guys who I think are kind of fringe starters with great possibilities. Marquise Brown, Cleveland's been very well beaten by downfield receivers this year. Brown is starting to turn it around, consecutive big games, heavy targeting, lit up Cleveland in week 1. And he scored a touchdown or gone over 100 yards in all 4 divisional games so far this year. And I love Alan Lazard against Detroit also. Again, it's a matchup. Detroit has allowed secondary receivers to kill them all year. They've allowed 10 touchdowns to receivers. They've all been by number 2 or 3 guys. And definitely in the Green Bay matchups over the years, the leading receiver is always MVS or Lazard against Detroit. Lazard scored both games against Detroit last year, and he only had 3 touchdowns all season. And his only catch as a rookie was against Detroit as well. He likes playing Detroit, playing.
Wow, that's a lot of good research there. Interesting stuff on there. Well, by the way, people, I just remind you, most people understand this, but some people that are not very experienced in fantasy football, we can not like a quarterback but still like one of his wide receivers. In other words, Darnold can throw for 180 yards, 1 score, and that's a bad game. But if he throws 90 of that 180 yards and a score to Jameson Crowder, that makes Crowder, especially if he catches 6 or 7 passes, that makes him a good play. So that's where we're going. In other words, there's not a link there necessarily for the players. Now, back to the wide receivers, a couple of guys I like this week. I like Mike Williams, a secondary player, because it's the Falcons, and I think that Keenan Allen's going to get his, and so will Mike Williams. So if you got Mike Williams as an option for flex, go ahead and stick him in there, and don't worry about it. CeeDee Lamb, well, he had a Hail Mary go right through his hands tonight, but he got a lot of targets. I like the matchup against the Bengals. They want their rookie to get more involved in the passing game there. Andy Dalton doesn't mind throwing to him. So I think he's going to have a good game this week. You stick him in your lineup if you need him. A couple guys I'm concerned about, it's just along the lines of a low-scoring game on Thursday night. Jalen Ramsey's probably going to be covering Jacoby Myers in this game for much of it, if not all of it. So I'd stay away from Jacoby. And then over in New York, I love my Giants resurgent. Go Giants, you know, Ingram and Shepard, yeah. But Darius Slayton, what have you been? Not enough targets for a fantasy start, especially if Colt McCoy, who locks on to Shepard, I'm sitting Slayton this week. How about you, Chris? Give me a couple of wide receivers you're not crazy about and why.
Another guy who's disappeared is Jerry Jeudy. The last 3 weeks, only 8 PPR points total. Clearly the third fiddle to Patrick and Fant in the passing game, and slot guy K.J. Hamler's picking up a lot of targets. Carolina's pretty good against the wide receiver. Only true studs have had decent games against them, and slot receivers have had success, so I expect a low volume for Jeudy and a high volume for maybe Hamler. And then I know this sounds crazy with the Steelers having more wide receiver touchdowns than any other team, but I don't like any of their wide receivers this week. Pittsburgh has relied too heavily on the short passing game to get going. They've really struggled with it in the last few weeks. I see this as a low-volume game. I think the awakened Steelers are going to try and reestablish the run against a weak run defense to avoid the Buffalo pass defense. And they've only allowed the fewest wide receiver fantasy points anyway, and only to clear alpha dog wide receivers, which Pittsburgh doesn't have. They're just a real caution play here. Weather is also going to be a potential factor. They're calling for cold and snow Sunday night in Buffalo.
Yeah, those guys need to hold on to the football, too. Of course, Eric Ebron's not doing his fair share of drops, too, but I see your point there. How about the tight end position, a couple of guys you like and why?
Yeah, funny you mention Eric Ebron. He's my guy this week. He's still the top consistent target for Big Ben. 7 catches and 11 targets each of the last 2 games. get the Buffalo team that's allowed the most tight end receptions and yards and among the most tight end points. I think he's primed for a big PPR day again this week. And then Hunter Henry has almost exactly the same number of targets, catches, yards, and points as Ebron, and an opponent that's almost as generous as well to opposing tight ends, allowing a league-high 9 touchdowns. The Falcons have been much better on D since Raheem Morris took over as coach. They've only allowed 1 tight end touchdown since that time, but it looks like a bounce-back game for the whole Chargers passing game, like you talked about earlier. So I think Henry should be a solid PPR guy as usual. He'll be back.
There you go. Okay, I mentioned this guy earlier, my tight ends I like this week. Mark Andrews, paging Mark Andrews, if you get activated from COVID reserve list, you got to play him. Browns have allowed 9 tight ends touchdowns in 2020, and I know that Mark Andrews has had multiple touchdowns in games that he's played against the Browns because I've owned Mark Andrews the last 2 years, so I know he's a good play this week. If he plays, that is, check the list later in the week. Dalton Schultz had a pretty good game tonight against Baltimore, a lot of catches here and there, and the Bengals are the second worst against the tight end. So this is going to help Andy Dalton out. I think Dalton's going to have a good game, 4, 5, 6 catches, 50, 60, 70 yards, maybe a score this week. So if you need him, start him. A couple guys I'm concerned about, once again, going back to the Thursday night game, Tyler Higbee, the Patriots, yeah, they've allowed 1 tight end to score on them in 2020. That's 1 touchdown. I believe it came either in week 1, 2, or 3, one of those weeks. It has been a long time since any tight end has done anything. Remember, this is a Patriots team that kept Darren Waller down to like 2 catches for 10 yards, something like that, very close to, and we're talking about a guy that just scored 50 points in FFPC scoring this past week. The other guy I'm not crazy about, and you might not even own him or heard of him or whatever, but Dan Arnold, yeah, he scored twice last week, so people are like looking at him going, wow, I need a tight end this week. Maybe I should play him. Well, the Giants really limited the tight end, so I don't think Arnold's going to come anywhere close to scoring twice again this week, maybe probably not even once, so I would avoid him. By the way, Dan Arnold's floor is 0. Let's say, just be careful there. Okay, how about you, Chris? Give me a couple tight ends you're not crazy about and why.
Maybe Arnold throws an interception on a reverse. He gets negative points. All right, but I'm going to have a caution play for Logan Thomas this week. I know he's been red hot, but the 49ers have only allowed 2 tight ends to top 30 yards all season, and neither of them scored. No one over 27 yards since week 6 and a league low 30 yards per game. It's a tough play against this defense, especially with McKissick hogging all the outlet passes. And then Jimmy Graham. Texans have been very good against the tight end and totally shut down the 3-headed tight end by committee of the Colts last week. They've not allowed a tight end touchdown since week 6, only 2 guys over 55 all year. And Graham has totally disappeared behind the youngster Cole Kmet. I watched the snap counts. They've totally flipped from 2-1 in favor of Graham to 2-1 in favor of Kmet. So he's got half as many snaps, half as many targets, only 6 PPR total points the last 3 games. He's a permanent flick and droppable.
Yep, I agree with you totally there. In fact, this past week on the in the market feature that I just released, I featured Cole Kmet and the fact that he's playing very well. He scored last week, and the snap count is just totally reversed. All right, how about a one-hit wonders kicker and defense? Hit me with him, Chris.
Hey, Joey Sly may have been dropped because he was on a very late season bye last week. So go pick him up. He gets Denver this week, who's allowed the most field goal attempts. And then I like Graham Gano. During their 4-game win streak, he's averaged 12 points per game for the Giants. And Arizona has allowed 10 points per game to kickers in the last 6 with a low of 8. So 2 good opportunities for some guys that are probably high opportunity or high availability on the waiver wire. And a couple of defenses. I'll stick with the G-men. I think they're playing very physical. They've stopped the run game. They've been sacking teams. They've held 4 straight teams under 20 points. And Arizona has allowed 10 sacks to Kyler Murray since he injured his shoulder. He's not running as much or being elusive. I love the Washington football team as well. The Niners have been very generous with turnovers. And Washington, if you watch the Monday night football game against the Steelers, they really showed their pass rush strength.
Yeah, I tell you, both the NFC, they call it the NFC least, but the last couple of weeks, both the Washington and the Giants have been surprising people. And I think maybe, just maybe, the winner of that division might end up 8-8. I don't know. It's going to be tough to go 9-7, but my Giants are surprising. And I think that this is really a winnable game this week. We shall see. Anyway, thank you for joining us, everyone. For Chris Rito, this is Mike Nazarek. We'll see you all next week. when week 15 of the 2020 NFL season is previewed, and that's our penultimate episode, that means we have two more episodes. We take Christmas week off, week 17. Our season finale is the week 16 show. So anyway, good night and good luck to everyone this week.
You've been listening to the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge with your host, Michael Nazareth, the definitive fantasy football information and advice show. Join us next time on Blog Talk Radio. Until then, remember, there's no bragging rights for finishing second.